We're learning a Maimer, we're learning a Hasidic course by the Rebbe. Tovshin Choftes, this would be 1968 probably, about Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the end of all the holidays of the month of Tishrei, the seventh month, and usually this particular holiday is just related to Jews, nothing to do with non-Jews. But the Rebbe, in this particular discourse, finds that there's also a relationship, explains actually, that there's also a relationship with non-Jews. This is actually not a chidush, a novelty of the Rebbe. The Rebbe brings midrashim, etc. So it's clearly also related to non-Jews. Why? Because this particular time of the year, we ask for rain. And rain goes for the whole world. It's not just for Jews. It's for non-Jews also. So in this discourse, the Rebbe wants to explain this idea of, wait a second, on one hand, we always see that Shmini Atzeres is only related to Jews. On the other hand, we see that Shmini Atzeres is clearly related to non-Jews also. So, okay, let me understand what's the proper focus of frame of mind regarding this particular holiday. That's chapter one. Chapter two, the Rebbe explains that the mitzvahs were given, the commandments were given to Jews. However, there are commandments that also were given to non-Jews, like the famous seven mitzvahs. And the Rebbe brings the Rambam. The Rambam says we have to actually teach, go, force, quote unquote, in a nice way for the non-Jews to keep these particular seven things, etc. That's chapter number two. So we see that the Jews have some kind of obligation towards the non-Jews. Chapter number three, the Rebbe explains, this one is a little bit deeper. Chapter number three, the Rebbe explains there are two aspects of Torah and mitzvahs in general. The Rebbe puts everything in one bag, so to speak. Torah and mitzvahs. Usually in different discourses it's explained. Torah in one hand and mitzvahs is a different thing. But in this particular case, the Rebbe is putting everything together. Torah and mitzvahs, two aspects. What are these two things? Aspect number one is how God gives us the Torah, and this, of course, applies also to non-Jews, because that's what the Rebbe is talking about. God gives us the Torah in order to refine ourselves, become a better person, grow in many aspects, in whatever, this is not the place where the Rebbe is talking about do this or do that, no. Just in general, grow, you have to grow. That's why the Torah was given to us. And then the Rebbe says, but there's something more. There's something deeper, so to speak, that has nothing to do with refinement of the world. Because even when Mashiach comes, speedily in our days, Torah is going to be still learned and still kept and still observed, etc. And there's no refinement over there. Nothing to do with refinement. The world will be already refined. So what is the purpose of Torah in that case? So the Rebbe brings that the purpose of Torah is to grow in Kedusha, in sanctity. Continuously advance in sanctity. And the same thing applies to mitzvahs. Mitzvahs can be just to refine the world, refine yourself, etc. Or the mitzvahs can be to grow in your connection to God. That has no relationship with refinement. I would add, between parentheses, and this is not what the Rebbe said, it's just my addition, that it's very difficult to connect to God if a person is coarse and is not refined. So you're going to have to refine in order to connect yourself to God. So there is these two aspects of Torah and mitzvahs. It's not just something today, we have the mitzvahs and you have to refine. In the next world, you're going to connect to God. No. It happens at the same time right now. Because there's a refinement that allows you to connect to God according to your level, according to your possibilities today. And we don't have Mashiach, we don't have the revelation of God. Okay, I got it. However, that doesn't mean that I cannot connect to God. It means refine yourself, grow, and then according to that growth, you will feel the connection to God. You could argue, everybody's connected because God loves everybody. Yeah, very nice. Do you feel it? Does your heart pump faster because of God or because of pizza? Oh, you like pizza. Okay, so definitely you need more refinement and you need to feel this. Okay. That's basically chapter 3. The Rebbe added at the end of chapter 3 that this would be basically the idea of Sukkos. Sukkos is a holiday in which in the temple there used to be 70 sacrifices. I'm not going into the details. 70 sacrifices that were actually for the benefit of the 70 nations. That's good. But then comes Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is something else. Shmini Atzeres, there used to be only one sacrifice. That means specific of Shmini Atzeres. There were other sacrifices also, but specifically the sacrifice that were related to Shmini Atzeres by itself, that was one sacrifice. That this had to do with the one people, the one nation, etc., the Jewish people. Now, let's go to 4. Chapter 4. However, there is something known. It's a famous concept, so to speak. Even if we don't know it, it's famous. The concept is that in Torah mitzvahs there is inclusion, iskalelus. Things are connected one with another. It's not just two different things, level here, level one, level two. No. Everything is connected. And this is the reason why this is like a Talmudic thing. A person that is busy fulfilling one commandment, not really busy doing this thing, is absolutely exempt of any other commandment, any other obligation. Why? Because you're already doing the will of God. So what are you going to do? Twice the will of God. You're already working on the will of God. So that's it. You don't have to do anything else. Lefi shebechol mitzvah klulim kol ha-mitzvahs. In a deeper way, the same thing, but just in a deeper way, every commandment contains all the other commandments. So once you're busy doing one commandment, you're doing actually everything. Again, the explanation of this, I just said it before. At the end of the day, each mitzvah is the will of God. So if you're already really busy with the will of God, you don't need to do anything else. That's it. All the other mitzvahs, what are they? The will of God. I'm already working on the will of God. Move on. So now we can understand. In this level of Torah mitzvahs that we explained in the previous chapter, that they, the Torah mitzvahs, have a relationship with the world and they affect the world and they refund the world and the person, etc., etc. In that level, klula gam dargas haTorah mitzvahs kifi sheh mitzvah atzmam. It's included also the level of Torah mitzvahs that is something in itself, not for something more, for refinement. No. Torah mitzvah is just to connect to God. What I said before is basically the same idea. It's not that today, since we don't have Mashiach, we just refine. Just refine yourself, refine. Forget about God. Just refine yourself. No. Today you can also feel something because both levels are connected and included one on the other. The Rebbe used to repeat this idea so many times. This is also understood from the fact that all the things, all the levels and great revelations that will happen when Mashiach comes, they depend in our actions and our service to God throughout the Golus, throughout the exile. That means it's a concept mentioned in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe brings this concept. And again, the Rebbe used to repeat it many, many times because the point over here is, hey, don't just wait for Mashiach. Yeah, Mashiach is going to come. No. You have to do something for Mashiach to come. And Mashiach coming depends on you, on what you do right now. And this is the words of the Midrash. All the sixth millennium that the world will exist, it will exist afterwards also, but this is the classic work of our sages. Since in the future to come, the work of Torah mitzvahs will be beyond the whole thing of refinement. We're not going to be busy refining anything because it's going to be already refined. You're forced to say, says the Rebbe, that this whole thing of how things are going to be in the world to come, since they depend on how we do things now, that means that something that was going to happen later is also can also be expressed and found in what we do now, refining the world. Again, don't just say, I'm going to refine myself, forget about God. No. Since you're refining yourself in order to perceive God, so there's some of that perception of God that has to apply today also. Some of it has to be related to us today. Umikol makom. However, yesh chiluk be'ein aroich bein dargas atir mitzvah shelemayla me'oilam kifi sheiklula bedargas atir mitzvah shelechem le'oilam. There's a very, very big difference between the Torah mitzvahs, how they are beyond the world, like it's going to be in the future to come. There's a difference between that and the Dargas Torah mitzvahs shelemayla me'oilam kifi shei mitzad atzma. And the mitzvahs, how, I'll translate again, the it's like a long phrase, that's why it's a difficult phrase. The Rebbe says like this, however, there's a difference between, an enormous difference, infinite difference between how the level of Torah mitzvahs beyond the world, as they are found now, when we have the mitzvahs related to the world, there's a difference between that to the level of Torah mitzvahs beyond the world, as is going to be in the future to come. Again, in simple words, at least easier to understand, I think. You just told me that since what we do today is what causes the revelations in the future to come, whatever happens in the future to come is also related to today. So from today we go to the tomorrow. That tomorrow is related to today. Okay, very nice. But there's a difference between tomorrow as we see it today and tomorrow as it's going to be really tomorrow. It's not the same thing. Ubiur ha'inyan. The explanation is like this. Hinei, now. Klalus ha'inyan de avoidas habirurim ube'oifen she'amisbarer koidem le'amevarer. The whole thing of the work of refinement of the world, that would be refining of ourselves, refining the world around us, etc. The whole thing, the idea of birurim, refinement, generates, so to speak, it's obvious that misbarer koidem le'amevarer, that thing that is refined, is being worked on, comes before that which refines it. Sheharei, because the Rebbe is going to explain very easily. Sheharei nitzitzes ha-kedusha shebidvarim ha-gashmim ha-misbarerim shorsha mi-oilam ha-toyu shekodam le-tikun shehu shoyresh ha-odam ha-mevarer. The Rebbe is going to explain in an easier way, but this is like the classical Kabbalah language. The sparks of sanctity that are actually found in the physical world that is being refined, those sparks, their source comes from a certain level that is called Olam HaToyu, a world of disorder. And this world of disorder comes before the world of order. So first of all, God created disorder, and then he ordered it. Okay, this world of order, Tikkun, is the source of the person, the human being, that refines the disorder. In other words, you go into a room, and all the books are all around the room. It's a mess, terrible mess. Comes a person and says, okay, this book goes here, this one goes here, this one goes. Clearly the mess came before the person. The person comes after the mess and starts actually arranging the mess. This is what the Rebbe is saying. In spiritual world, in spiritual level, so to speak, clearly the mess has a higher source than the order. That's why it came before. Okay, yadua, as it's known befirush hakosov ki lo yal alechem levada ichi adam ki al kol meitzepi avaye goimer. As it's known, the explanation of this verse, that not only on bread lives a person, rather on everything that comes out of the word of God. What does that mean? Ze udvar Hashem shemelubash velechem lachayose. This thing that the man lives beyond the idea of the bread itself, rather what comes out of the mouth of God, what does that mean? Is the word of God that is invested in the bread to give life to the bread, to make the bread exist. So you can just focus on the bread, and the bread, of course, you can translate whatever you want, pizza, sushi, or whatever you like. So you can just focus on the bread, or you can focus on the godly life giving life to the bread. It depends on your attitude. The bread is the same bread, and your body needs bread, and you eat it. But what's your mindset? What are you thinking about? So The Torah is saying again, not only on bread, like physical things, you just live. No, you live on the spiritual things behind those physical things. That's the explanation of the verse. Apparently, says the Rebbe, this is a famous question in Hasidus. Isn't it true that also in a human being, there's the word of God giving life to the human being? Like, everything exists. No exception to this. Everything exists because God creates it, because God invests in that thing, his word, his livelihood, so to speak. So I'm a human being. I also have a word of God giving me life. Clearly, otherwise I wouldn't exist. The question is, why is it that a human being needs to receive his sustenance from the word of God in the bread? Why bread? I don't need bread. I should be able to exist just by myself because God is creating me. I have the word of God inside of me. No, you have the word of God, true, but you need the word of God with bread. Why bread? Why something else? The question is not bread. Could be pizza or sushi, whatever. Why do I need anything else? It should be enough with my own word of God giving me life. And the Rebbe explains, this is a famous question. The idea is like this. Just what we said before. Because the source of this is just three letters that mean doimem, tzemeach, chai. Inanimate things, plants and animals. The source of the word of God giving life to these three levels comes from the word of toyu, disorder. Very high, messy world, so to speak. Shekadam lebechinas olam tikun, that came before the world of tikun, of order. So my word of God inside of me is actually from a lower level than the word of God inside the bread. That's why I need the bread to eat, to live. That's the reason why this doimem tzemeach medaver, the inanimate world, minerals, etc., and the plants and the animals are the need of a person. A human being needs these things to live. Hainu, the reason is, she'adam tzarich lahem ve'inu yachol iskayim biladam. A human being needs these three things and he cannot get sustained without that. Ve'ilu adatzach einam tzarichim ladam. However, look at it backwards. The inanimate world, the plants and the animals don't need a human being to exist and to live. Ve'yicholim iskayim biladay. And they can exist without a human being. Actually, they exist better without the human being. We destroy everything. So, shezeu lefi shehem koidmin le'adam eshorsham. The reason for this is because they, inanimate things, etc., animals, plants and animals, they came before, spiritually speaking, before the human being. Parenthesis, the Rebbe doesn't say this, but I think it's so clear and so obvious. If you look at the creation itself, the plant, the inanimate things, plants and animals were created before man. And man was created afterwards. That shows you that spiritually speaking, their source is higher than the source of a man. I read this. The reason why they don't need us is because they came before us. Spiritually speaking, they are higher than us. Behine, now. מצד קדימה סדבר המסברר להאדם המברר ישנם קשיים שוורי קייטן בעבוד הסבירורים. Because of this same reason that these things that have to be refined, the inanimate things and the animals and the plants, they came before the person and the person came afterwards, that generates that there are difficulties, Schwierigkeiten, difficulties in the world, in the service, this work of refinement. It's not so easy. Not so easy, because you can learn so many discourses telling you that the world, the physical world, is not important, and the spiritual world. Yeah, but I like pizza. I just told you a whole thing. Yeah, but pizza is so nice. Can you put more cheese, please? What's going on? You forgot about everything. I just told you, the physical thing is not important. You forgot. This is a famous thing in Talmud also. This thing being refined, in this case would be the pizza, came before. Akdime is preceded ta'anasa. Ta'anasa means it's complaint. Parenthesis. The Rebbe assumes we already know this, so he's not explaining. But it's very simple. When a person is born, basically, it's just yetzer hara. It's just bad inclination. When a person becomes bar mitzvah, a man at 13, a bas mitzvah, a woman at 12, and for Bnei Noach, we can argue, it's a whole argument, when actually they become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, whatever. Whatever the case is, the age doesn't really matter. Suddenly, person becomes responsible for their acts. And comes the yetzer hara, the bad inclination, and says, wait a second. Up to today, you didn't really care about anything. You just did whatever you want. And now you start caring about things? I came before. Continue your whole life not caring about anything. Just do whatever you like. That's what it means, akdimit anasa. Suddenly comes up the person, in the case of the Jew, the godly soul, in the case of a non-Jew, the responsibility towards creation, towards God, towards the fellow men, etc. No, I don't want to be responsible. I just want to continue being a child. Do whatever you want. That's what it means. This is what the Talmud is talking about. So, again, there are difficulties to refine the world. It's not so easy because we came, quote-unquote, late. We came afterwards. The consciousness came afterwards. So it becomes difficult. You're used to not caring about anything, just like another child. I want the candies for me. I don't care about you. Yeah, but I like a candy also. You have 100. I don't care. They're my candies. They're for me. Okay, so the Rebbe brings into parenthesis over here a famous phrase also of the Talmud. He's talking about Adam, Atem Krim Adam. He's talking about the Jews. That's why it's the Rebbe saying, okay, this whole thing of the godly soul applies to Jews. But in any case, what the Rebbe is talking about is, it's difficult to refine the world. Because, again, consciousness came afterwards. We used to be unconscious of everything, but suddenly we have to become conscious. Ukem shekos uv be'esav, v'yetzi arishon admoni, as it's written in Esav, the brother of Yaakov, the first one came, all red, etc. So Esav came first. V'lochen to'an es b'choyri asilokach. That's why he complained to his father Yitzchak, this guy, my brother Yaakov, took my b'choyra, my being the firstborn. I was the firstborn. I came here first. Why don't you give me the blessings? Why, Yaakov? I'm the firstborn. However, so it's difficult to refine the world. It's not easy. Hanesinas koyach shuyuchal liyos klalus inyan abirurim hu mitzad ze shiyesh darga nailis yoiser shesham ein metzius acheres milvad metziusem shel bnei Israel. This one is a difficult phrase. Long and difficult. What's the strength we have in order to refine the world? This strength comes from the fact that there's a level, a higher level, that in that particular higher level, whatever it is, there's no room for something else but the Jewish people. I'm going to explain. This is what Shmini Atzeres actually means. Shmini Atzeres is a special relationship between the Jewish people and God, and there's nobody that can come in, so to speak, no strange can mix in into this relationship. There's nothing else, nothing strange in the middle, so to speak, between God and the Jewish people in this relationship. Not even in a way of with you, like not in the middle, but with you. What does it mean, with you? Not even a secondary thing. Not even that. Sheloch and inegam leachar yedidasam leoilam nasim bnei Israel ba lebatim ala oilam. That's why, even when we descend into this world, the Jewish people become like the owners ba lebatim of the world. What does that mean to be the owner of the world? People usually translate it: the Jews want to control the world and the banks and the money and the blah blah blah. No, lakuv is called by oilam lekavel mitzvois shinitzav bnei Noach. This is what it means. We have to force and teach everybody to accept the 7 commandments of Bnei Noach. And to generate a refinement in the world. before moving on, it's simple, but before moving on, the Rebbe is talking about a very general outlook, so to speak, of the world. And then I, in my explanation, applied it to a person by himself. But it's not exactly what the Rebbe is talking about. The Rebbe is talking about a very general view of the world. What's the view of the world? Okay, look, there's Sukkos. Sukkos is very nice. You have to refine the world, do something for the non-Jews, and teach them, etc., etc. Offer 70 bulls, and etc., etc. Very nice. But then there's Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is just for the Jews. We still didn't explain what about the rain. That's like still being on the back. Keep it in the back of your mind. But Shmini Atzeres is just for the Jews. So the Rebbe is saying, look, the reason why we can actually work with the non-Jews, and not just we are obligated to do that because we are, quote unquote, the owners of the world in order to bring godliness to the world, etc. That's what it means to be the owner of the world, not to have the banks on the world. Who cares about the banks? I personally don't have any bank, so, and I'm a Jew, so it doesn't really work. The point is that the reason why we are, quote unquote, owners of the world is to change the world, to bring godliness into the world. And the strength we have from that is because there's a special relationship between God and the Jewish people, where nothing else gets mixed in, nothing else, not even in a secondary way, it's over there in that relationship. But the truth is that Esav came before. So to speak, the non-Jews came before the Jews to the world. They were here before. So when you go to a non-Jew and say, yeah, there's a God and there's a Torah, it says, what? What are you talking about? I don't care. I don't need that. I'm fine. When you come to with Jewish things, and you're mixing things, I don't understand. So it's difficult. It's not so easy. And the Rebbe is explaining why it's not so easy. Because actually, Esav came before. He is the firstborn. He came before. So he should be teaching you. Now, suddenly afterwards come the Jews and say, no, we're going to teach the world. So you might think, I don't have the strength to do that. It's too difficult. So says the Rebbe, no, you're the owner of the world. You came for that. That's the reason why you exist. Go and teach everybody how to behave, etc., etc. And that's what gives you this special relationship, Shmini Atzeres type relationship between the Jews and the non-Jews. The Jews and God. That's what gives the Jews the strength to actually refine the non-Jews. Zehu gam mashikosuv, this is what it's written. I'm sorry, just one more point before moving on. This also applies in a personal level. The way I explained before. In a personal level, yeah, the non-consciousness way of life, it's so easy and it came before and you're so used to this. Suddenly you become responsible of your family, of your husband, of your wife, of your children, this and that. Hey, wait a second, I want to continue being a child. All the candies are for me. I don't care about anybody else. Yeah, it's tough. It's difficult. But it's exactly the same idea. Rather, you can see it in a global way or you can see it in a personal way. But it's the same idea. And you have the strength to refine yourself, to leave yourself aside and to give the candies to others and to take care of your family, etc. Zehu gam mashikosuv alo yech Esav leYaakov veGomer. This is also what it's written in the verses in Malachi, in the prophet. Isn't it true that Esav is the brother of Yaakov? Umikol Makom, and however, this is not part of the verse, the Rebbe is adding it to explain. Ve'oyeves Yaakov, I love, says God, I love Yaakov. I know, that means, shegam be'ad darga she'esav u'ach le'Yaakov, even in a level where, true, effectively, Esav is the brother of Yaakov. They are the same. However, I still love Yaakov. Still love Yaakov. Oich in the darga gufa is Yaakov tifer. The Rebbe puts it in Yiddish over here. This particular discourse was not checked, so to speak, by the Rebbe. So probably the Rebbe was only saying this Yiddish word, and then the ones that copied they translated into Hebrew. But they felt, even the one that copied, they felt, if you don't put it in Yiddish, you're not going to understand what the Rebbe was talking about. Tifer means deeper. So you see, in Hebrew, it doesn't say any deeper anywhere. Amok. It doesn't say. So they put it in Hebrew. For Oyev es Yaakov, God loves Yaakov. But they still left the words of the Rebbe. Even in a level where Yaakov is the same thing as Esav and Esav is the same thing as Yaakov, wait a second, Yaakov is deeper, goes deeper into God. That's the reason for this is because Yaakov is actually rooted in the essence of God. There, there's nothing else by the Jew, but the Jewish people. Israel, like the Zohar says, God and the king, the Israel, the Jewish people, and the king, which is God, they're together, alone. Umisham nimshach liyizvo oyeves Yaakov. From there is projected into the world the fact that God loves Yaakov. Gam bedarga de'ach Esav le'Yaakov. Even in a level where Esav and Yaakov are brothers. Vezehu shegam bedarga satire mitzvah kifi sheyeches la'avodat ha'birurim. Klula gam bedarga satire mitzvah shelemaylem avodat ha'birurim. This is what it means, that in the level of Torah mitzvahs as we have it today, related to refinement, even there you can find something of the Torah mitzvahs as is beyond refinement. What? This is the fact that we have the strength to refine the world. In other words, the Rebbe was very, very short-worded in this last point. The way I understand it is like this. If God would have sent us to refine the world, just like that, go refine the world, the truth is it would be impossible. It's impossible. Too many non-Jews, too many difficulties, it's impossible. They came before, and they're really so much, so many beyond us. It's impossible. Nobody's going to listen to us. There's a famous video of the Rebbe talking about influencing non-Jews, and the Rebbe brings the idea, even if you only speak Yiddish, so you don't even know how to talk to this guy. You found this guy in the street, you don't know how to say hello to him. Shalom Aleichem. The guy says, what? I don't understand you. So the Rebbe says, get a translator. Go find the translator. So it's difficult. It's not so easy. If God would have just sent us, go refine the world, I'm sorry, it's impossible. So the Rebbe says, okay, all the Torah mitzvahs is like a big, big group of things that expresses itself in different times in the world. There's a time in the world today, no Mashiach, no revelation of God. Hardly we can see some miracles and some godliness, whatever. How do you want me to work with the non-Jews? So the Rebbe says, there's something of the revelation of godliness in the world to come that shines also today. And because you have that godliness that shines also today, you can go and refine the world. That's what gives you the strength to refine the world. What is that kedusha, that sanctity, that whatever, spark of whatever you want to call it, that shines today? So the Rebbe says, this fact that even when Esav and Yaakov are the same, God loves still Yaakov, he's deeper. It's deeper. Yaakov is deeper. The relationship between the Jews and God, it's a deeper relationship. These are the words of the Rebbe. It's a deeper relationship than the relationship of the non-Jew with God. Or even, you can say it the same way, but in different words. The non-Jews are very strong. It's true. It's very difficult to work with them. It's very difficult to refine them, especially in South America where Christianity took hold so strong, and it's so difficult. They just don't get the ideas. They don't get it. It's only one God. What do you mean one? It's three. And he has a son. No, there's no three things. There's no son. There's no nothing. They don't get it. And even after so much time of learning, it comes out. And suddenly they say, but the son? No, I've been teaching you for so long. There's no such a thing. And you come back again to the same thing. Because they have it rooted. It's difficult, very difficult to take it out of the mind, of the heart, etc., etc. Now, you might think, I don't have the strength, it's impossible. But the Rebbe is saying, wait a second, they also have a relationship to God, they're also related to God. Afterwards, Esav is also son of Yitzchok. Yaakov is deeper. Yeah, but Esav was also son of Yitzchok. And he also had private meetings with Yitzchak. Yitzchak would be like God, something like that. And Esav was also there. And Yitzchak loved also Esav. Okay? Yaakov is deeper, deeper. And that deepness gives Yaakov the strength to work with Esav and go refine Esav. Omnam, however, inyan ze hurak be'oyve shel iskalelus. This whole thing that I just explained is only in a way of combinement, of included. Ve'adayin yesh tzorich be'avoida v'igia lifol le'sinyan habirurim. And still there's need to work and to be big efforts, not just work, like really efforts, to refine. The fact that you have the strength, that doesn't mean that the work is done. No way. You can do it, and I gave you the strength, but go do it. Esav is still thinking that Yaakov kept his, or took his, firstborn. The fact that he was a firstborn. And of course, this availability that we have today, this strength we have today, this deepness, tiefer, whatever we have today, is not even comparable as what's going to be in the days of Mashiach. Because over there, in the days of Mashiach, there's not going to be any need of refinement. Because there's not going to be any other existence but the existence of the Jewish people. The Rebbe is not saying and is not going into a discussion of whether there's going to be conversions and non-Jews in the world to come. It's not talking about that at all. It's just saying, look, there's a thing, there's a level of connection between God and the Jewish people that is very, very deep. It's going to be revealed, in the world to come, in the days of Mashiach, etc., etc. Today we have like a spark of that. Why do we have the spark of that? To go and refine the world. That's what the Rebbe is saying. And in the days of Mashiach, that is going to be revealed completely, so to speak, not just a spark. Whatever that means, the Rebbe is not going into what it means. Now we can explain this whole thing in these two holidays of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. He neyav shenizbar le'el she'avoid that the Chag HaSukkot is b'shaychus le'birur u'moisa olam. Now, even though we explained before that the whole work of Sukkot was in relation to the refinement of the nations of the world, even so, harimatzinu shegam b'chag HaSukkot k'siv lochem, we still find that Sukkot, the holiday itself, it's written for you, like for the Jewish people. Kemo shekosuf, v'mitzvos dalet minim, v'lekachtem lachem, as it's written in the particular commandment of Sukkot, of taking a lulav and esrog, whatever that means, doesn't matter, four types of plants. It says for you, you will take for you. So Sukkot is for you, that means the Jewish people. So on one hand we say, wait a second, Sukkot is to refine the non-Jews and we bring the offerings. Yeah, but wait a second. There's an expression of Sukkot that has nothing to do with non-Jews. Just for you, for Jews. So how does it work? Is it refinement of the world? Sukkot is refinement of the world or for Jews? Aha, inyan no, that is like this. She'ainyan delochem she'nemar b'chag HaSukkot hu'al derech hanesinas koyach la'avoda sabirurim. This is a little bit deep. Sounds simple, but it's deep. This whole thing of for you, the expression of Sukkot is just for Jews, it's similar to the idea of God giving strength for the Jews, just for them, to work with the non-Jews. Like, it is as if, this is not exactly what the Rebbe is saying as I understand it, but just an example to understand what the Rebbe is saying, the way I understand it is, God is giving something just for the Jews. Just for them, forget about the rest of the world. What is he giving to them? Tifer, I don't know, a deeper connection. Okay, that's just for the Jews. And that expresses itself in the things we have to do in this case, in Sukkot, that have no connection to the non-Jews. But then there's a connection of the Jews with the non-Jews. We're supposed to take that strength and refine the non-Jews. That is expressed in Sukkot, in the 70 bulls offered in the temple to go refine the non-Jews and to bring benefit for the non-Jews, etc., etc. But that's why in Sukkot you find the two things. You find something that is lachem, just for you, because I'm giving you the strength to go afterwards and work with the non-Jews. And it expresses itself in two different types of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that are just for Jews, mitzvahs, so to speak, the korbanas, the offerings, the offerings that are also for non-Jews. Not that the non-Jews go do offerings, but, I mean, the non-Jews were given the offerings in benefit of the non-Jews. Mitzad dargas atere mitzvahs kifishem mitzad atzmam shishayechim l'Yisrael davka. Okay, again, God is giving us strength by this word in the Torah, lachem, again, for you, certain things in Sukkot are just for the Jews. Why? Because that's related to how we refine the word. And that's related to the Torah mitzvahs, as they are for themselves. Just for the Jews. Lachem, for you, the Rebbe says in parentheses. Sheklula gam bedargas ha-Torah mitzvahs kifi sheshayachim lo'olam. And this expression of the connection between the Jews and God is also included in the Torah mitzvahs, how they are related actually with the world. That's Sukkos. So again, Sukkos has two things. One is just for the Jews, one is for the non-Jews also, and the thing that God gives for the Jews exclusively gives the Jew strength to work with the non-Jew. Perfect. Aval b'Shmini Atzeres. However, if you go further in Shmini Atzeres, what does that mean, Shmini Atzeres? The end of Sukkos. That's for you, so to speak, just as it is, just for the Jew. No relationship with the non-Jew. I know that means loy rag ve'oifen shel iskalelus v'nesinas koyach l'avoidasam shel Yisrael bebirur ha'oilam. We're not only talking about this connection, so to speak, this included in giving strength to the Jews to work with the refinement of the world, that means the non-Jews, not just that. This is related to the work of the Jews, just for the Jews, like the Jews are. No relationship with the non-Jews. In a way that Shmini Atzeres, it's written regarding Shmini Atzeres, this is just for you, and nobody, no stranger with you. No stranger. So what did the Rebbe explain in chapter 4, which is a deep one, a tough one? So the Rebbe said, look, we explained before chapter 4 that there are things that God gave for the Jews, things that God gave for the non-Jews. And basically they are separated, two different things. However, they're still connected. But there's an expression of godliness, so to speak, in the Jew to be used to refine the non-Jew, and there's an expression of godliness in the Jew for himself. No connection to the non-Jew. And this is expressed in Shmini Atzeres. I'm sorry, Sukkos first, and then Shmini Atzeres. In Sukkos is like the Jew, even though he has things for himself, the commandments that are just related with him in Sukkos, and then there are the things that are related with the non-Jews, and then Shmini Atzeres. Okay, up to here, very nice. However, we're still missing the thing of the rain, because the rain was also for non-Jews and was related to Shmini Atzeres. Up to here, we explain Shmini Atzeres just for Jews. Forget about the non-Jews. Yeah, Sukkos is also the non-Jews. Very, very nice. But Shmini Atzeres, no. Yeah, but we started the whole thing saying Shmini Atzeres is also related to non-Jews. Chapter 5. Nay mitzad inyan iskalelus. However, we just explained in chapter 4 that there is such a thing of connection, togetherness, so to speak. All the levels are connected one with the other. In a gam b'shmini atzeres, sheboy meir ha'inyan de lachem, kefi shehu mitzad atzmoy, yesh negam ha'inyan de yeridas geshamim, shehu yom shekulam anu ve'atem smeichim boy. Rebbe says exactly this point. Even in shmini atzeres, that I just explained, that it shines a thing that is just for you, lachem, just for the Jews. As the Jews are for themselves, forget about the non-Jews. Who cares? No, wait a second. Even in Shmini Atzeres, there's a thing of Yeridas HaGeshamim, of rain, falling. And we just explained from the words of the Midrash, like in the first chapter, Shehu Yom Shekulam, that's a day when rain falls, everybody, we and you, Jews and non-Jews, Smeichim Boy, everybody's happy together. So, what's the whole explanation we just gave? Just throwing it, you know. Ella, but שבעניין זה גופה מודגש את מעלסם של ישראל, לכם כפי שהם למעלה מהאוילם. Even in Shmini Atzeres, that it seems that everybody is the same, everybody is together, even there is stressed, mudgeshes, is stressed, the virtue, the elevation, whatever, of the Jewish people, that would be the word lachem, for you, in the verses, as the Jewish people are beyond the world. So we see, the Rebbe is going to explain, but we see there's an expression of the Jewish people, how the Jewish people are supposed to work with the world, and there's an expression of Jewish people, how they are for themselves. The idea is like this. In this whole thing of rain falling, there's an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. One opinion is the whole world drinks, so to speak, lives on the waters of the ocean, Okeanus, ocean, Shenemar, as it says, it says in the beginning of the creation, there's vapor that goes up from the land and that brings water to the whole face of the world. So we see, of course, big part of the world is just oceans, just water. So that water becomes clouds, and the clouds bring rain, etc., etc. The whole world drinks water out of the ocean. Okay, that's one opinion. Oy, another opinion. The whole world drinks from high waters, spiritual thing of waters. Shenemar, as it's written, limitar shemaim tishtemaim. From the rain of the heavens, you will drink water. So again, maybe an important we're not talking about science over here. We're not arguing how rain really forms. No. We're talking about spiritual things. Either the whole world drinks from below, from the vapors, etc., coming from below, or the whole world drinks from above. Besides whatever the world would do, whatever man does, doesn't care. That doesn't matter. Either you drink from below or from above. That's the argument over here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, how do we get sustenance from God? Do you have to work to get sustenance, or it comes from God, independently of what you do? That's what they're arguing, actually. Because the water being evaporated and generating clouds, etc., that means the world is doing something. And that's what generates rain, or it comes from the heavens. Don't do anything. According to what our sages say in a different place in the Talmud, both these and these are the words of the living God, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We could say that they're not really arguing. Both are saying the truth. Both perspectives are true. This refers to two levels of rain. I know. What does that mean? Sheyesh geshamim shemimei meyokianus. There are rains that actually come from the waters of the ocean. Shemaim tachtoinim. These are the lower waters in the creation itself. In the scriptures itself says the lower waters, the upper waters. What are you talking about? Okay, the lower waters is the waters of the ocean. Hamayim asher mitachas lalakia. These are the waters that are below the heavens. Whatever that means, that's one level of rain. And there are rains that are actually from a higher world, from higher waters. Like the Torah says, the waters that are above the heavens, whatever that means. There are two levels of waters. This is the whole point of the Jews praying for rains. In Shmini Atzeres, and in Shmini Atzeres it says for you. Again, for you meant just for the Jews. But we still ask for rains. But the rain is for everybody. Everybody is happy with the rains. So why does it say for you if we ask for rain for everybody? It shouldn't say either one of those two things are wrong. Either it doesn't say just for you, or don't ask for rain. היינו, that means שעצב בני ישראל הנה גם העניין די ירידת גשמים ובאופי של למעלה מאוילה. In the Jewish people, I should add, in the best case, we should at least try to reach this, whatever. In the Jewish people, this whole thing of rain falling is not just rain falling. It's a special way of rain falling. It's a rain falling beyond the world. This is the higher waters that are beyond the heavens, whatever that means. ומכל מקם, and however, עניין זה גוף אשר למעלה מהעולם נמשך גם למטה. This thing that is beyond the world gets projected also down here. בעולם הזביעה, in this physical world, בריאה, יצירה, יסיעה, whatever that means, עד לעולם הזה הגשמי, up to this physical world. So even though we're still connected with something that is very high, that very high thing gets also projected down here. באופן שהירווה את הארץ ולידה וצמיחה. This is a verse. In a way that the rains actually satiate the land, and the land brings forth and sprouts, whatever, plants, etc., etc. So what did the Rebbe explain in chapter 5? In chapter 5 we said, even that which is written just for you, Shmini Atzeres, also has a relationship with the world, also permeates somehow the world. That we get from these higher waters, we project from that, and we influence even the lower physical world.